your place, I'll ask you to stand with me and we'll read 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 18 down to verse number 25. All right. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as, what? Grass. And all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower thereof falls away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Isn't the gospel an amazing thing? Changes a heart. Changes a country. Changes a nation. Changes a family, and will change the whole world if they would listen. The gospel. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for sending the sweet Holy Spirit to live within us, teach us, working in us. Thank you, Father, for all the good things. The Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And Lord, thank you. Thank you for the beautiful weather we have, the sunshine today. But Lord, if there was snow 6 feet deep, we could still say thank you. And Father, you have brought the sunshine into our hearts. You've brought the blessings upon our souls. And Lord, we really do, with all of our heart this morning, we praise and bless our wonderful Savior. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful church. Church family, pastor, thank you, Lord. We love this church, and God, may your precious blessings be upon it. Now, Father, bless your wonderful word today. Help me, O God, hide me behind the cross of Calvary, and let me preach, Lord, with unction from on high and with the sweetness and gentleness of the wonderful Holy Spirit of God. Now, Father, we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated if you would. I thought of a little story. You know, my children are preacher's kids. And our brother who told the story, where are you? There you are. Reminded me of a story. Yeah. I was raised up during that era where that you sit there and the child moves and he... You've been there. Some of you, yeah, you know exactly about that. Well, uh-huh, yes. Amen. We have an amen already. Well, my oldest son is, he's saved most of the time. No, he's saved all the time. But there are just better times than other times. And when he was about, oh, maybe about 6 or 7 years old, we were in a church. And, of course, Daddy was up in the pulpit preaching. Mom was sitting with the kids. We have three children. And he was like the story of your little guy. Uh-huh. And couldn't behave, couldn't sit still. And, you know, had all this. And finally, Mom got all she could take. And she said, you come with me. And she told her daughter, our oldest, you take care of Jim. I'll be back with Paul. So we were in a small church, and the walls were very thin. She went to the bathroom. Took him in there. He was probably doing what your little guy did, saying, pray for me. But boy, Mom took him in there and three or four times. Came out. She didn't know the walls were thin. The bathroom was right there. You could hear everything. Mom, I won't do it. I won't do it. I promise. I promise. I promise. So, a little while later, she came out with him and the people turned around and said, you understand? Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, preacher's kids. That never happens to the young ladies. I know that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's good to be with you. Really, it's good to be with you. And I hope this morning that the Word of God will speak to each one of our hearts. You know, the Bible says here in the first part of verse number 18, for as much as you know, I'd like to remind you of some things. We know that we're saved. We know that the Word of God is the Word of God. We know that the gospel, when it's preached, it will bring results. My wife's father, as far as we know, died as an unbeliever. I remember that in my early years of being a Christian, I worked with my father-in-law. One day we were in his truck and we were taking some iron to a place to sell it. And I told my father, or my father-in-law, I said, now, Paul, you need Christ. You need Christ. Think about this. He said, Ray, you're right. I need Christ. Oh, music to your ears. And I said, pull the truck over. Pull the truck over right now. Let's pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you. Oh, he said, we have to go to work. We can't. We're going to be late. We can't stop. I said, please, I'm begging you, stop the car. Let's get this thing settled right here, right now. No, I can't do it. Just one night completely changed that man. The next day, I went to work with him. He said, Ray, don't you ever talk to me about Jesus ever again. Never. As far as I know, he died an unbeliever. I'm telling you that there are some things we know for sure. There are some things that, just like it says here, for as much as you know, there are some things you and I can know. One is the Word of God will bring some kind of a result in somebody's heart. Might be acceptance, it might be rejection. I remember the night that I got saved. I sat all the way in the back. And our church was very long, not like yours, it's wide. But ours was very long, and I sat all the way in the back, close to the door. And, boy, it just seemed like the message touched my heart. Every word was just like that, just going into the heart. I sat there, and I kept saying in my heart, no. Can't do this. No, no, no. And I cannot tell you for sure that this would have happened, but I'm telling you what it seemed to me in my heart. It seemed to me that God was saying, okay, the line's drawn. I will not deal with you again. You either choose me or forget it. Now, again, I can't tell you for sure whether I would have ever had another chance or not. I don't know. But I felt it in my heart that that was the end of it. And that night, boy, I jumped up and I ran down to the front of the church. Fell on my knees and I got saved from head to foot. I mean, God just saved me from one end to the other. I mean, just everything. And by the way, that's the way everybody gets saved. And I'm a little concerned when someone says, I got saved. Has your life changed? No. Anything any different? No. Well, when God came into my life, everything changed. Amen. Everything. When God came in, the lights came on, the darkness left. And for as much as you know, there are some things that we can just know for sure. Another thing, you can know you have eternal life. Remember what 1 John chapter 5 says? This is the message. And this is the record. That God has done what? Given unto us eternal life. This life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. There are some things we can know. Over in Ethiopia, we have a lot of Pentecostalism. And I wish all of you had been here during the Sunday school this morning. We tried to share some things that encouraged and helped the people of God here in your church. But there's a lot of Pentecostalism. And the people will say, well, I used to be saved. You used to be saved, okay. Explain that to me. Well, but I sinned. Once you're saved, the Bible says you are saved forever. It does not say you're saved, so go out and live your life any old way you want to. It doesn't say that at all. If you're truly saved, you'll live your life in a proper godly way. So, can we know for sure that we have eternal life, everlasting life, forever life? Yes. John chapter 10 says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They know me. I give unto them what? Eternal life. They will never perish. So, there are some things that we can know. When I end the text, in the context itself, it talks about redemption. Will you look at verse 18 again? For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. Now, let's think about this word redemption. Do you know where it comes from? It comes from the old slave markets. And the old slave markets, they would have someone and they'd bring up this slave and he'd be there and they'd say, what am I offered for this slave? And they would auction the man off. And someone would purchase, and this is where we get our word redemption, they would purchase the one who was being auctioned off. Now, you know why I'm going with this. You and I were on the auction blocks of sin. You and I were like a slave to the devil and to the world and to ourselves. Amen. You understand that. And so we were being sold, and Jesus Christ bought you and me. We were redeemed. We were purchased. We were bought. We belong unto the Lord. Can I show you some scripture, please? Look at this one. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 10. 1 Timothy 6, 10. It talked about we're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. Well, look at this. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10. Does that happen to us today? Do people try to redeem themselves with money? Someone says, you know, the church needs money. That's why they take up an offering all the time. That has nothing to do with it. We worship the Lord through our giving. It's not because we're asking somebody, oh, please give something into play. We're so poor. Not on your life, my friend. We're giving you an opportunity, if you're a believer, to worship the Lord in your giving. So 6:10, please. Look at what it says. For the love of what? Money is the root of all evil, which some coveted after they have erred from the faith, and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Huh. You think of money and sorrow. Someone says, I think of money and happiness. You know, truth is that if you have a lot, you worry about what you have. Someone says, I don't have to worry about it. I don't have a lot. Well, I understand that. Missionaries are that way in a lot of times. But some people who have money, they're worried, my IRA or my 401 or this, the stock market has dropped. And, you worry about things that you really don't have any control over in the first place. Am I saying not to invest in those things? No, not at all. Not saying that at all, because the Bible does say be wise like the ant and provide, and man should take care of his household. And I know all those things. We're accountable to God, and we're supposed to be good stewards of what God has given us. I'm aware of that. But the point is, we invest sometimes more in this world than we do in the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, we have to be careful. How are we redeemed? Not with corruptible things. Here's another one. Notice this, please. Good works. Now, some people have the idea, James says that we have to have good works, and we're not saved by grace alone, by faith alone. We've got to have good works. Good works comes after faith, not before faith. And good works is not equal to faith. Can I show you? Ephesians chapter 2, 8 to 10, please. Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. Most of you could quote this, but let's look at it. For by grace are ye saved through what? Faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Which comes first? Faith. Good works, they go together, but faith is always first. Faith will take you into heaven, not good works. Some people try to be redeemed by this good work stuff. Chuck Colson just died recently, just within the last few days. And I heard someone say, surely Brother Colson is in heaven. Remember all the good things that he did. Now, I don't know the person. I don't know what they meant by that, but I'm saying, many people believe that. Look at all the good things he did, she did. And they put the emphasis on the fact of doing something. And that doing something, God's going to allow you into heaven because you did something. My friend, that is absolutely wrong. And your entrance will not be into heaven. It will be into hell. Because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into heaven. You see, they might say, Lord, I did this. Why, I preached and I did many wonderful works. And boy, I was in the church and I was in the choir and I was in this and I was in that. And Jesus may say to you, I never knew you. So redemption is not by good works. Well, what about traditions? Remember in 1 Peter chapter 1? Talked about this tradition that you've received from your father. How many of you were born into a religion? Can I ask you something? Did it work? Didn't work. Well, my goodness. Guess what? It never will work. Never will work. I was born into this. I was born into that. I told you that my wife was born into a Baptist church. Now, I love Baptist church. I do. But guess what? A Baptist church did not die on the cross of Calvary. A Baptist church can never bring salvation to you personally. Only Jesus Christ can. Now, thank God when a Baptist church is a true godly, Bible-believing Baptist church, they will preach the doctrine that you and I need to hear. Now, thank God for that. And I am a Baptist. I'd be ashamed if I was anything else. I have no intention of being anything else. I am what I am by the grace of God, and I know what I believe, and I know where I'm going to stay. But traditions cannot save a man or a woman. John chapter 8, please. The Jews were there, and here's what they were saying to Jesus. John chapter 8, verses 36 to 41. John 8 and verse number 36. John chapter 8, verse 36. All right, let's read, please. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now notice it said, if the Son makes you free. I know that ye are Abraham's seed. Now that's a tradition now. But ye seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father. And you do that which you have seen with your father. Did you notice that the word Father in the preceding word is with a capital F? A second one referring to God, the Father. This one referring to the devil as their father. Now, but you seek to kill me. I'm in the wrong place here. Where? Verse 40. Am I right? Oh, sorry. I'm sorry, I lost my place. 38. Thank you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we are not born of fornication. We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Traditions. Tradition, my friend, many people will say, I'm redeemed or I'm a Christian because of I was born into my religion. I was there. My great-grandparents were in this religion. I'm all right where I'm at. That's what the Jews said. Were they all right? No. They were of their father, the devil. They didn't realize it. Oh, we have one God. How many people today will say, oh, don't be diverse now. Unify, come together. We all have one God. I've got news for you, my friend. We don't all have one God. In Ethiopia, almost half of the country's population is Muslim. 45% or so is also of the Orthodox religion. Born into it. Not very many who are actually converted into it. They were born into it. And they will say, we have our religion. Religion without Jesus Christ will not save your soul. Just won't do it. So 1 Peter 1 is very clear. We are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, or by the traditions. We are not redeemed by those things. Well, what are we redeemed by? 1 Peter chapter 1, look in verse number 19. The little word, but. But with the precious blood of Christ. As of a lamb without blemish, without spot. Now, let's talk about this for a moment. Do you know what the book of Revelation says? That Jesus is the Lamb of God. Jesus is the one who the Lamb will be sitting upon His throne in heaven. Jesus is the one where that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. So, that name. Remember how Acts 4:12 says, there is no other name. There's not any other name whereby we must be saved. There is only the name of Jesus Christ. Someone says, why, you Baptists, you always talk about Baptists. No, we like to talk about Jesus too. Jesus is the one. Jesus is the important one. Are we in the right church? Yes, we're in the right church. But the church does not save. The church teaches you. The church trains you. The church works with you. But Jesus Christ is the one who saves the soul. Not any other person. Well, would you look with me at Hebrews 9? Hebrews 9 and verses 24 to 28. Oh, this strikes at the heart of something. What is it? Well, when we read, you'll see. Hebrews 9, 24 to 28. I was in Malta for 14 years. And Malta is a very Roman Catholic country. How many of you were Roman Catholic before? Oh, my goodness, lots of you. Malta used to say, the people of Malta used to say, we're more Catholic than the Pope. Very, very strong Roman Catholic people. Well, listen to verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself, what? Often? As the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, how many times? Once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was, here's that word again, once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. In the Orthodox religion, which is the major religion of Ethiopia, oh, I received Christ. When? Last week. How was that in the Mass? Sound familiar? Yeah. Are we redeemed by corruptible things? Absolutely not. What are we redeemed by? The precious blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, you can pour all the wine into a glass that you want to. It is not changed into the blood of Jesus Christ. It is simply wine. Take all the bread you want to and all the praying you want to over it will not change it into the body of Jesus Christ. That blood was shed once. That body was broken once. It was given so that you and I would have eternal redemption forever. Never to be repeated ever again. Boy, that'll make a Baptist shout. There is nothing but the blood of Jesus. You remember that old song, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Boy, hallelujah to God. What a privilege it is to be covered by the blood of Jesus. I was sitting beside an Ethiopian businessman one day, and we're seated there together very properly. And here he is, and here I am. And he said, excuse me. And I said, yes, sir. He said, what do you do? I said, I'm a fisherman. Oh, commercial or what? I said, no, individual. One by one. I'm dressed in a suit. looking at me a little weird, like, what kind of a weird duck do I have here? So I said, oh, I follow one of the best fishermen in the world. Amen. Oh, you know where I'm going with this. And I said, you know, Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you what? Fishers of men. Oh, well, I need to go now. You understand? So, fishermen, now watch what we are. We're men who believe in someone who gave his precious blood for not just us, but for the sins of the whole world. I was in the car and I was driving and I heard this man talking about Calvinism. And he said, the blood of Jesus was only for the elect. And I almost turned it off. I thought, well, I'll listen for a minute. So I listened for a few minutes, and the more I listened, the madder I got. You can tell I'm not one of those five-point Calvinists. But finally, I just, instead of ripping the radio out of the dashboard, which the car didn't belong to me, I thought I better just turn the volume off. So I turned it off, and I want you to know something. Listen, the blood of Jesus was shed for every single person. And there's no one outside of the blood of Jesus Christ unless he rejects that blood. Now, if he rejects it, that's his own fault. But it was shed for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 2:2 says, not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So, I like what old Dr. J. Vernon McGee. Did you ever listen to J. Vernon McGee? Oh, I love Dr. McGee. And used to listen to him, and he would say, you know, the gospel is like a coin. And on the heaven side, it says, the elect of God. And on the earthly side, it says, whosoever will. And he said, that's the way I look at it. And I thought, boy, hallelujah to God. That's exactly right. I don't know who's going to be saved. God does. But my job is to take the gospel to the whole world. And there's no home that's not the right home for the gospel. There's no address that's not the right address for the gospel. There's no person that's not the right person for the gospel. Take it to everybody and let God work in their lives, in their heart. Well, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 8 to 18. So just over one page, please. Hebrews 10, 8 to 18. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. Now that's talking about the Old Testament and the New Testament. So the law of Moses and grace. So he's talking about the old and the new. And notice what he says. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Well, here's that word again. What is it? Once for all. My goodness. Paul, you must believe in salvation once forever. Evidently so. Once. And every priest standeth what? Daily ministering and offering, oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can, help me please, never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, how long? Forever. Set down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them, After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now read with me, please. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Ladies and gentlemen, we are not redeemed by corruptible things. No matter money, gold, traditions, church, good life, good works, none of those things redeem you and me, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Boy, hallelujah to God. 7 billion people, this is not baptistry water, this is drinking water, right? I heard a story about, I don't remember what kind of church it was, Episcopal or something, and some man, they had a little pitcher there, and he was thirsty. And he reached over, and the people went, and he kept preaching after a little while. Did he again? And they finally told him later, "Brother, you drink our baptistry dry." Well, this is not baptistry water, okay? Seven billion people in the world. I remember, wasn't it just a few years ago? It was six. Our world is just growing and booming. It's amazing. But 7 billion people in the world. Do you realize that of that, there's nearly one-fourth of that amount of people that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? Nearly one-fourth. That was the statistic I read just the other day. Nearly one-fourth of our world has never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of work for you and me to do. The harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Mm-hmm. Now, 80 million people in Ethiopia. You know, it's amazing. When I was in school, which was a long time ago, but when I was in school, I remember that they used to teach us, now this is 1 0 and 2 makes 10 and 2 more, or 1 makes 10 and 2 more makes 100 and 1,000 and so on and so on. And I don't remember us ever getting to a million. But now they're teaching trillions. And someone said, well, what will happen when the trillions become just ordinary numbers? I don't even know what's after a trillion. Do you? I don't know. But someone said that if you would have spent $1 million for 2,000 years, so all the way back to the time of the Lord Jesus until now. So if someone would have spent $1 million every day, it would just be $1 trillion by now. And how many trillions of dollars are we in debt? 14? I can't even write that many zeros. I mean, some of these figures are so big, so astronomical. You say, it's just beyond my ability to comprehend it. Well, I want you to know something. There's 80 million people in Ethiopia, and that number I can certainly comprehend, and I want you to know that they need the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we were in Malta, it's a very small country, Brother Joseph, and, you know, the whole island, Malta is an island, the whole island is 14 by 19, if I remember correctly. 185,000 homes. I remember that number for sure. I was praying one day and I said, Lord, how can I reach this country? And God says, only 185,000 homes. Go and knock on them. I'm being truthful with you. And the first thing that came to my mind was, you know, that's possible. We could do that. So we put together a packet, and we had two or three tracts in the packet, and we had a couple of other little things, and put in a little plastic sleeve or a pouch. And there was about 20 of us. And we said, you know what? If we do this from morning until the evening, taking a couple hours out for a little lunch and some rest, we can carry a backpack and we can go to every home. And we laid out all the streets properly on a map. And in 2 weeks' time, we knocked on 185,000 doors. Almost every home in the country. And we didn't talk to everybody. We talked when we could. But our main objective was just to put the gospel in every home. We did that. A few years later, I said, let's do it again, in case we miss somebody. We did it a second time. Then we did it a third time. I'm telling you, listen, it is possible to reach some places with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is a little... I don't want to knock over the baptistry. There is a little country in the Mediterranean Sea that will have no excuse when they stand before the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. That missionary came. Those people of that church came. They gave you that literature. They talked to you. They visited with you. You had it in your hands. What did you do with it? Now, I realize 185,000 is a lot less than 80 million. I'm aware of that. Well, what I am telling you is, have a vision for God. Amen. You're in Cumberland, Rhode Island. Now, I have no idea the population of this town. Don't have any idea. But have you ever thought about reaching it for Jesus? Ever thought about going out, all of you, and doing your part for winning a city to Jesus Christ? Someone says, well, I can't. Well, if you say that, you probably never will try either. If we'd have stopped and said, "Why, we couldn't do that," we'd have never reached that little country of Malta and effectively put a gospel tract, or visited, or talked, or shared some kind of a gospel witness with every one of those homes on three different occasions. I'm telling you, have a vision for God. Amen. Have a dream for God. Someone says, I'm afraid to dream for God. Why not? Why not? Why are you afraid? Oh, I'm afraid maybe God wouldn't do it. God wouldn't do it. If it's going to glorify Him, if it's going to honor Him, God wouldn't do it. I think that's one reason why our churches are a little bit anemic. We don't dream big enough dreams. Oh, well, I'm not a visionary. Well, why not be? Paul was certainly a visionary. Peter and the others became visionaries. I want you to know they turned the world upside down for Jesus Christ. A matter of just a few years. Well, our world's already turned upside down. We need to turn it right side up. So, why don't we dream big dreams for God? Why don't we think about what we could do? I have a goal. I talked to some men about it, of taking 500,000 New Testaments in Amharic, the language there of Ethiopia, and putting it in one city and trying to reach half a city for Christ. We're going to try to do that. Have a vision. Have goals and projects in mind to where that you can do something for Christ. Nothing wrong with that. Well, there are tens of thousands of villages in Ethiopia. I can honestly show you on a map, and I'd encourage you, Google. Go and Google Ethiopia. Doesn't that sound funny? We never used that word Google before. But yeah, go and Google it. Yeah. But when you do, you'll see when you enlarge the page, village after village after village after village after village, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of villages, and many of them absolutely know nothing about Jesus Christ. They worship a rock, they worship a mountain, they worship a tree, they worship an animal, or they're involved in something where there's absolutely nothing that they worship at all. Now I'm telling you, there are places where that there is no gospel witness at all. And you and I, let me ask you, what are we doing about it? Well, I don't live over there, Brother Ray. Well, I do. I live there. So I'll point to this man standing right here. What am I doing about it? You're my partners. Can I ask you something? What are we doing about it together? What are you and I doing? Huh? Church, what are we doing? I'm your missionary. There's a rope between you and me. What are we doing? Huh? We holding the ropes? Are we doing what we're supposed to be doing? Are we praying? Are we seeking? Are we winning the souls? Well, we're winning a few. Well, I understand that. So are we. But the point is, are we doing what we should be doing? And I'm afraid on that end of the rope, I would have to be honest and tell you we're not doing everything we need to be doing. Can more be done? Absolutely. Tens of thousands of villages and no witness at all. Go to the book of Matthew chapter 28 with me. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18. Matthew 28 and 18. I'd like for you to read it with me. We'll read it in unison together. 28 and verse number 18. Let's read it the way it should be read. Okay? Starting in verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, do you believe that? Sure you do. Sure. Are we doing it? Are we doing it more and more and more and more and more? Are we really pursuing the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are we really pursuing the souls of men and women? You know how Paul said it? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believes, to the Jew, to the Greek, why, to the Ethiopian, to the American, to the Chinese, to the Indian, to this one, to that one. In fact, it is to the whole world. You go, you teach them. Win them to Jesus Christ. Baptize them. Train them in the things that I've taught you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I'm there. Don't worry about it. I'm with you. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be actively pursuing the gospel. Actively going out, doing what we know to be done. I thought about your workout on the roads. Boy, that's great. People will see you and they'll say, huh, you know that little Baptist church over there is doing something. Pursuing the souls of men and women. Doing something that will make your presence known in this community. Reaching people for Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. Amen. That's what it's all about. That's what we need to be doing. Now, what can we do? Let's just finish the message by this. What can we do this morning for Ethiopia? What can we do? What needs to be done? Pray. You know how Jesus said it? The harvest is plentiful, laborers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that He would do what? Send forth laborers into His harvest fields. Oh, they're white. Listen, when they're white, my friends, they're ready. Ready for the picking. Ready for that harvesting. And you know what? That's the way it is. Someone asked me, well, what about 10, 15 years from now? They may be closed doors. They may be completely closed. We don't know. So when is the time? Right now. Now's the time. Today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. For salvation, if you're unsaved, come today. You don't know what tomorrow will hold. Why, you may be here, you may not be here. Well, the same thing for service. Amen. Same thing. Why, if I'm going to serve God, when do I need to do it? Well, I'll do it tomorrow. Uh-huh. And the next tomorrow, and the next tomorrow, and the next tomorrow, and it goes on for years, and the first thing you know, you're too busy, and you're too busy, and you're too busy. You get to be old, and you don't have enough health anymore to serve God, and you don't have any time. Mm-hmm. Better do it today while you have the time. I turned 65. I'm a very young 65. At least I think so. So when I was getting ready to turn 65, all my friends told me, now, Brother Ray, at 65, your blood pressure will increase. And you'll start having ailments every day. You start having this and you start having that. Boy, I was dreading 65. I'm thinking this little black cloud is going to be all right over my head. I turned 65 looking like this. Well, guess what? I turned 65 in one day and nothing happened. I turned 65 in 2 days and nothing happened. I turned 65 in 1 month still looking. Nothing happened. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what people tell you. Oh, you can't do it. You're too old. You're too young. You're too inexperienced. You have this problem. You have that problem. My friend, if you're a born-again Christian, you have everything you need. Go and serve the Lord. Go and do what He tells you to do. Witness for your Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter how old you are. I've asked the Lord, give me 30 years. You say, well, boy, I can figure that up. You're not going to be around at that. Well, who knows? I don't know whether I will be or not, but I know one thing. I want to serve Him now while I have the opportunity. And if I have tomorrow, I'll do my best to serve Him tomorrow. So that's why I'm saying to you, hey, salvation is today, service is today, because we don't know. Could be that we don't have a trumpet up here, but it could be a trumpet will sound tomorrow. Could be that we'll hear the voice tomorrow. Could be that the clouds will split tomorrow, and you and I will be home to be with our blessed Lord. Now, Brother Rex Switzer's already there. Others already there. And one day you and I, if the rapture does not take place soon, will be there to be with our Lord. So the time is now. Now, I've preached a very simple message, but are you willing to serve the Lord? Are you willing to do what He wants you to do? Well, He may not call you to go, but He will call you to give. Oh, I knew it. That preacher's going to talk about money. Just a comment or two. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken. I'm old enough, I remember cotton picking. Now, you probably don't remember that, but whatever you remember, lobster picking, or I don't know, whatever you remember up here in the Northeast, I don't know, but I remember cotton picking where it would take the sack and would, like that, and it'd go down, 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 and fill it up again. You know what it says? Given it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same way that you give, it shall be given back to you. You give stingingly, guess how you're going to receive? You give with a gracious, loving heart, guess how you're going to receive? Same way. May God bless you, folks. May God help you to serve the Lord graciously, faithfully, boldly, and in a way that will bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. Let's pray.